The following program is brought to you with limited commercial interruption.
Today's broadcast is being simulcast in broken English.
Here we go in 3, 2.
Time to wake up!
Hey, what are you doing here? About to go on the air!
Uh-oh.
Get out of bed. Resistance is futile.
Back to reality.
I love that show.
It's very hip to be on the show.
We ain't one at a time in here. They broadcast me out on the radio. We're mass communicating.
Best show since no other show.
I absolutely love you. You're thoroughly entertaining.
Get ready to taste some sweet ear candy.
Okay, here we go.
It's showtime.
Gentlemen. This is The Cue.
Let's get down to business. Can you do it?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Cue, of course. My name is Mark Bland, and guess who's back? Back again. Mofo's back. Tell a friend. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Justin Deming is in studio for the first time in months. Chris Negus is going to be joining us to discuss the serial killer story that has gone viral around the nation. Plus, we all know the easiest way to kill spiders. We will discuss further, as well as we're going to have a special guest who's going to be joining us later on in the show to talk about porn. That's it. Just porn. I want to say pornification, porn, but that's not even a word. Pornification.
Can you? That is a word.
Porn in the USA?
Ladies and gentlemen, yeah. First off, he is known as Dimofo on Twitter.
And Instagram.
Please welcome to The Cue once again for the first time in many, many months, our old co-host, Justin Deming.
It's darn good to be back, Mark.
Thank you so much. Of course, producer Bobby over there.
What up?
And the walking reality, polar vortex, Danimal himself, Dan Walsh.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you, sir?
That was my sense. I'm doing pretty good.
Told you on your way in that we were going to be talking some porn later, and you said you were ramped up.
I'm pretty good. I did my set at the comedy club, and I'm ready to talk about porn now.
Here's the funny thing. When we told Dan that we were doing porn, Dan said, I'll be here in 15. Dan, we're doing porn. I'll be there in 2.
Yeah. Like, literally. It was that quick, and Dan turned around.
But I thought we were, like, going to do some porn.
Bobby tells me off the air that we have got another special guest. So we have just a show full of special guests that he's going to surprise us with later on in the show.
Don't you think we're kind of giving like our guests an ego because they're all special?
I don't even know who it is.
Do we have like just a regular guest?
I'm a special guest.
Here's our ordinary guest for the evening.
That would be
former co-host Dimofo. Back to rescue the show.
We also have our favorite person, Chris Negus from KMOV. Yep. He's going to be on in just a few minutes here to talk to us about this thing we talked about last week, the serial killer situation.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. Right down the street from me.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions. You know what we're talking about?
Yeah, I heard about that. The lady that's living in the house where she found out through watching a television show.
Yeah, it was like Cold Case Files or something like that. One of these shows.
Mark, would you live in a house?
I live in a house currently.
I live in a van down by the river. It's kind of weird.
Here's my question, though. What should happen to these houses? That, something bad happens?
You should have to give birth in them to make up for the death. Like 15 births should be given in the basement.
15 births? What happens to St. Louis? We need you.
Usually what happens is you cook. And you sleep.
Yeah.
And you watch TV.
They got some walls.
That's usually what happens in a house.
But what I mean is, obviously, it's sensational. Everyone has this huge problem with living in a house where a murder occurred. But what should happen to these houses?
This is honestly what it should do. And it's no jokes.
What it do?
They should pretty much exploit this as much as possible and then make it like kind of like a historical landmark and then offer it for like tours in October and stuff and just exploit it for what it is. No one's going to live in it.
Make a wax museum inside?
Yeah, dude. Let people walk there. Like there's 17 people got murdered. I mean, I'm sure they wouldn't mind the fame. I mean, that way they didn't die for nothing.
Well, that's a good point. Like,
over there is where Tina Sislowski got axed up.
Walsh is in rare form. This board is just thrown in for a
down, down the hallway to the right. That's where Tommy McTopperson.
We're going
to
be
this show.
We're going to be saying, listen, let's give them names.
We're going to be talking later on in the show when he joins us. Sam Arcabasso, an amateur porn man, is now trying to make the world of St. Louis in itself
the home of porn. So we're going to be discussing that. And I think that that's going to be really, really entertaining. I think that it's going to be unique. And I'm excited for when Sam gets here.
Please, just one thing.
Well, go quickly.
I want to apologize to the families of people that were lost in that house. That was completely insensitive. And I'm an adult, and that was bad.
That was befuddled.
Well, we got Chris Negus calling in right now from Channel 4. We're gonna take it over live on the radio with us. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Man, we're doing fantastic. We really appreciate you coming on the queue this week. It's been a while since we've had you on the show, sir.
I know. It's been a little while. So having withdrawals, glad to be back on the show.
You're having withdrawals. Well, that's, you know, you've got other people that talk to you, right? Like John Carney guy?
People, it's always fun to talk to you guys.
Is that John Carney guy talk to you ever?
I talked to John Carney last week.
Did you? See, there you go. So you're not just totally out of the loop. You know, we let some of the legends handle you is what we do. And then every once in a while you get back to us.
It's good to be with you guys.
He rented you from us, and we sent you over there, and then he returned you.
What exactly is the price?
Is there still a Blockbuster?
There probably is somewhere in California.
Chris Negus, could you investigate for us if there's still a Blockbuster?
All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, the reason Chris Negus is on the show, we kind of talked a little bit about it. We teased it. We actually played Chris's a KMOV interview clip that he did this past week in regards to the lady in Ferguson, Missouri. And Chris, let's just get everybody up to par on this. What happened, and kind of like tell everybody what's going on?
Yeah, I got to tell you, this is just one of the craziest stories that I've encountered in a long time. So this woman named Katrina McGaw is renting a house in North County in the Ferguson area of St. Louis. And she's watching a documentary on A&E about serial killers. And as she's watching the documentary, she realizes the serial killer not only used to live in the house that she's currently living in, but that serial killer used her home as the torture chamber to murder and kill some of these women that he was picking up around the St. Louis area back in 2001 and 2002.
So you can imagine pretty
scary stuff.
Well, yeah, you're sitting at home. You're like, you know, I'm a big fan of some of these shows like CSI and stuff like this. You're flipping through channels. Nothing's going on. All of a sudden, this comes on. You're like, this is kind of unique. And then they're like, it's a story out of St. Louis. You're like, I live in St. Louis. St. Louis is a fantastic city. You know what I'm saying? And then you find out it's the house you live in.
I love this place.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, she said she loved the home. And think about it. You know, there's nearly not quite 3 million people, but almost 3 million people in the St. Louis metropolitan area. So it's a big city. You're interested in it because, you know, St. Louis has flashed up on the screen. And what are the odds that you would be living in the house where these crimes took place? And nobody told her. So, of course, she's sitting there watching this thinking, what? You know, luckily she's renting the house and she doesn't own it. But still, obviously, the situation made her pretty uncomfortable and she didn't want to stay there.
Now, one of the most important pieces of this little story, and this is one of the main reasons I wanted to bring you on so you could flesh out some of these details for us, was the fact that this lady, did she find out from the landlord herself, or did she find out from the television show she was watching that her landlord is actually the mother of the serial killer?
Yeah, and that's a really good question. So her landlord has the last name Travis, but she did not connect the crimes that occurred in 2001 and 2002 to this woman that was her landlord until she saw the A&E special that was, you know, the cold case documentary that she was watching. And after she saw that she was living in this house and realized the landlord had the same last name as the alleged serial killer, she picked up the phone and called the woman and said, "Hey, what's going on here? Obviously, you failed to disclose some things to me here." And she says that the landlord played it off and said, "You know, that's not a big deal. Some of that stuff's not true. Don't worry about it. Somebody else used to live in the house. There were no problems." But of course, this woman, Katrina McGaw, was really upset about it, and, you know, and feels like somebody should have told her this information. But yeah, it wasn't until that special that she was able to connect the dots.
I see. So very interesting. Very interesting.
If I'm not mistaken, in your story, I think I heard apparently the lady actually even gave the woman like a table that this guy used to like have in the house.
And, you know, that's the strange thing about all of this. And, you know, we sat there at the dining room table and did the interview.
No.
And the dining room table, and the way I told people about this in the newsroom, I said, as I was looking at it, And I don't know if anybody's ever watched, you know, the show Dexter. You know, that
surface,
you know, almost, you know, it was almost like a morgue-looking type of table. And I thought, wow, this is just a really weird, eerie piece of furniture to be in this dining room. And as we're watching the documentary together, so we did the interview first, and I said, hey, let's flip on the documentary. I want to see it. I said, man, that looks like the same dining room table as the one in the crime scene photos. And that's when Miss McGaw said, yeah, you know, Maury Travis's mom said we could just keep the dining room table. She's not using it. And I said, yeah, even the chairs look the same. So it would appear that some of that furniture that was actually inside the house when this stuff took place is still inside the house and was left there for this renter to have.
Wow. Man, that is such a crazy, crazy story. Now, obviously, the word disclosure came up probably a few times in your interview as well as in the mind of this lady who owns the house. And I'm just wondering, like, what is the disclosure principles that they have to abide by when it comes to buying and selling or renting a house? Like, do they have to disclose something? Like, because I always thought anything that was like with ghosts or anything that had to do with dangerous materials that were in the house at one point or whatever had to be disclosed.
Yeah, and so, you know, this is the area where there's been some confusion, but the law in the state of Missouri, and there's a similar law in the state of Illinois. Now, it depends on what part of the country you're in.
Some states require
you to disclose what they call stigmatized or psychologically impacted properties. But in the state of Missouri, you don't have to do that. So if somebody was murdered in the house, you know, 10 years ago, you don't have to disclose that type of information. However, if somebody had a meth lab in the house, you would have to disclose that because that's considered a material defect that could actually impact the structure because there were, you know, chemicals and dangers. You know, just like we get a home inspection and they say, hey, there's termite damage, or, you know, this wood is rotting, or you've got, you know, some broken windows or whatever the issues might be discovered that are material defects, those need to be disclosed. But a murder, a suicide, a violent felony, a violent crime, none of that information has to be disclosed. Now, a lot of real estate agents will tell you, look, ethically, you should tell people because the last thing you want is to sweep something like that under the rug and then find out, hey, by the way, because, you know, the guy that lives next door is going to say, you know, you bought the murder house. I mean, people are going to find out at some point, and that can create a pretty ugly situation. So most real estate agents I've talked to say they would disclose it, even though it's not required under the law.
Well, I mean, they're going to say that, right? They're not going to tell you, hey, we're going to sell the house no matter how we can, right? They're not going to say that to you on the news.
Exactly. And most of the time, you know, and my recommendation for anybody, and I'm not a real estate agent, but when I bought my house, you know, before I put a contract in, I said, hey, I'm going to walk around the neighborhood. I'm going to talk to people, you know, and I'm not going to ask them specifically, hey, is there anything weird about the house? But you just kind of get a feel for it. And hopefully the people that have been in the neighborhood for a long time would tell you or disclose something like that.
That's a real investigative reporter move there, Chris.
There you go. I guess so. I like to ask a lot of questions.
Which is really funny because at a certain point, nobody realized who you were. So then they go home one night and they're sitting there watching the news and they're like, oh my God, that guy was at my house just the other day and I think that he's investigating us. And sweetheart, I'm telling you, you tore that tag off the mattress. You should have done that. I mean,
or even crazier when I move in next door to that person. So
right. Oh my goodness.
Fair enough.
So Chris, do you have any stats on, I know it varies state by state, how many states make you disclose something like this? How many don't?
That's a good question. So I have a producer that I work with and we were doing some research on this issue and it was difficult. We couldn't find an exact number, but it looked like, and I believe the number, and this is, I'm just going off memory here, I think the number was three states, it was only three, required you to actually disclose whether there was a murder, a suicide, or a violent crime in the house. And I also got some information from somebody after the story aired, and I thought this was interesting. They said they were in New Orleans, and they were, you know, driving around, and there were for sale signs in the front lawns of some of the houses. And you know how you're driving around St. Louis and you might see a house, you know, for sale sign that says open Sunday 1 to 3 or swimming pool in the back.
Right.
Kind of a feature. Mm-hmm. Well, they saw a sign in New Orleans and the top part of the sign said not haunted.
Yeah.
So, you know, how strange is that? So I guess some states have different rules about this. You know, I don't know. I'll tell you this. It would personally bother me to buy a house knowing that it was the scene of a violent crime. It probably wouldn't bother me if I knew that somebody had passed away of natural causes in the house. But, you know, the serial killer, the murder.
Chris, I'm going to have to come over the top of you on this one, because I'm thinking that this is going to be the first half hour of one of the next great horror movies that they're going to release out of Hollywood. I mean, think about it. You the whole setup is this weird things start happening in the house, but you can't figure it out. And about halfway through, you're watching a television show where it kind of opens your mind to what had happened in the house. And that's when things really start to, like, hit the fan. You know what I'm saying? Like, this has got the makings of a great horror movie.
I mean, the woman that lives in the house said she felt, these were her words, she said, "I feel like I'm living a Lifetime movie right now." And I said, "Yeah, well, maybe a Lifetime movie, maybe a horror movie. Who knows?"
Chris,
it really would be a good plot.
Chris, we've been trying to figure out what we're going to do eventually for our Halloween show. We need you to come with us to the Ferguson house and stay overnight, and we're going to, you know, do some voodoo stuff.
Not overnight. Like, but we would love to have Chris on the Halloween show. That would be really awesome, because you could do some investigative background on it.
Well, the interesting thing about it, and I have no idea if this is going to happen, and, you know, technically the house, the property is still owned by, you know, Mari Travis's mother. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what her plans are, because as of July 31st, the current tenant is moving out. She was able to get the lease.
That's a good idea.
So I don't know if somebody's moving in. I don't know what's going to happen. But I do know that after this story aired, the woman who currently lives there, she was contacted by different networks around the country. Inside Edition contacted her. She got all these weird requests, and some of those requests included paranormal experts and people that were interested in, you know, going to the house. And I don't know if you believe in that.
Has she said there was any ghosts in the house, or that she feels like it's haunted or anything since?
You know, what I asked her, I said, "Hey, you know, did anything strange, or has anything strange happened in the house since you've been here and prior to you knowing what happened?" And she said, these are her claims, these are her words. She said that, you know, there's many nights where she will go to bed and her fiance works the overnight shift, and he comes home at like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. She'll go to bed, and then when he comes home, the front door will just be open, and not just like unlocked. I mean, like open,
like wide open, like door. Somebody could just walk
wide
in.
Wide open, like kind of like, you know, you have a storm door, and then the door would push up against the wall.
Yeah,
and he's, you know, he would ask her like, "Why are you leaving the door open?" And she'd say, "I'm not leaving the door open." And then they had another situation where a relative brought over a 2-year-old girl, and they went down in the basement. And the 2-year-old girl started crying. And, you know, all of us that have kids know that 2-year-olds cry for no reason at all sometimes. But the 2-year-old girl started crying and ran over to her mother. And they said, "Well, what's wrong?" And she started pointing at a pole in the basement. And this is the pole where Travis tied up some of his victims and where he recorded the murder of at least one of them. And she started pointing at the pole and said, "That lady over there is crying," or "Why is she so sad?" or something like that.
That is so freaky.
And that's a little bit bizarre. I mean, I don't know. I can't answer what's going on there.
What's crazy?
I can only report what she said. And she talks about some other things, you know, shadows and, you know, other things. But now that she knows, every rattle in the night, every bump in the night, she's thinking twice about what's going on.
What's crazy is, Chris, I grew up in Ferguson. And I've probably drove past this house since I was 16 years old a ton of times, and never even knew this story until you did this investigative story.
Well, it's not a real popular, well known, like, the lady just figured it out.
But I mean, the fact that this was a serial killer house and stuff like that, knew that.
It happened in 2001 and 2002, and so there was a gap, you know, in time. Mm. Where it's my understanding, because I actually talked to the landlord. I called her up and asked her if she would do an interview, and she declined. But I was able to ask her a few questions before she told me not to call her back. And she said that there was a woman that lived in the house for roughly 10 years prior to Miss McGaw moving in. And she lived there by herself, I believe, and there were no issues. So, you know, it was obviously the crime was very serious. And a lot of people in the neighborhood knew about it. But in the last 10, 11 years, a lot of people have moved. It's a relatively quiet block. And there wasn't a lot of attention on this house until this woman moved in and then realized she was living, you know, this real-life nightmare.
How many people died in the house?
Well, that's a good question, and nobody can really answer that. You know, Maury Travis killed himself in the St. Louis County Jail in 2002 before they were able to bring him to trial.
Uh-oh.
Now, some police sources, you know, and this guy's actually got his own Wikipedia page dedicated to him. If you have Maury Travis Wikipedia, you can read up on some of the, you know, information about this. But when he was finally busted, he was busted because he sent a map that he printed off a computer to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and he said, here's how you can find victim number 17.
Wow.
So he labeled it as victim 17. There were a number of bodies that were found in various parts of the metro area that police believe were connected back to him.
Wow.
But there's never been a definitive number. I mean, if you read a Wikipedia page, I believe it's some police sources say as many as 20. Others think it might have been as few as a dozen or, you know, or maybe a few less than that.
Bobby has already killed almost as many people with his underarms.
Stop it.
Like, just in the last 24 hours.
Stop it.
So, like, there's a chance, Chris, you might have to investigate him.
That's pretty dark, Mark.
I'm going to call you Dark Mark.
Whoa,
Dark Mark?
Dark Mark.
That's so weird. Well, Chris Negus, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, anytime, guys.
I appreciate it heavily. I think that this is a really, really weird story. Please keep investigating this situation and let us know if there's any major changes on your end. Because I would love to know what's going on with this.
And I'll be curious to see what happens now. You know, for every person that goes running from a property like this, there's always somebody that wants to move in. And in fact, I believe our newsroom was emailed by a guy who said he wanted to rent the house, or maybe he said he even wanted to buy it. I need to look back at it. But, you know, I'll be curious to know who moves in there and what their intention is and why they want to be there, because I assume this woman will continue to own the property, and I guess I have to assume she's going to continue to want to make income off of it. So we'll see what happens next.
All right, fair enough. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Negus, you can find him. What night specifically do they debut your new investigation, sir?
Well, it depends on the week. Lately, I've been on Monday nights and Thursday nights and at 10 o'clock, but Tuesdays and Wednesdays, I'm often on with follow-ups from other stories that aired, you know, earlier in the week or the week before, whenever, you know, we get updates as they come to us. You can catch me most nights on Channel 4 at 10 o'clock.
As well as at KMOV.com, the website where you can find probably information about all of his past investigations as well as video, too. So.
Yeah, and the best way, if you want to keep up with any of the stories I do, I've got a Facebook page, Chris Negus, KMOV, where I post the stories. And I also have a Twitter account, at Chris Negus, KMOV, where I like to link up a lot of the stories that we've aired.
I really wanted to take you over to Fox 2 and to take over for Tim Mizell. I thought that the Mark Bland, Chris Negus tandem, the Bland Negus is what we call it. Bland Negus.
The Bland Negus.
The Bland Negus combination, I think, would have been so much more enjoyable for the St. Louis area.
It sounds like a wrestling move.
I'll play the straight guy. You be the funny guy, okay?
That's exactly what it sounds like.
Fair enough. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us with Chris and Negus. Thank you so much. We're going to take a quick break here on the Q, and when we come back, more with myself, producer Bobby, Justin Dimofo Deming, as well as Dan Walsh. We'll be back on the Q right after this.
I'm so fresh, man. Man, y'all scared to do it how I do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Q, of course. Justin Deming, Dimofo on Twitter.
And Instagram.
Going nuts over here to the Mike Will Made It with the Miley Cyrus there.
Apparently, Mike Will and Miley Cyrus have been dating for like the last 8 months.
Wait,
really?
That's Miley Cyrus?
Yeah, that's Mike Cyrus. Well, it's Miley Cyrus' song, Jay's on My Feet. Well, it's Mike Will
Made It.
Mike
Will Made It song.
Featuring her, but she put it on her album.
Banger.
As one of his.
The Z?
On the Bangas.
Yeah.
The Bangas. On the Bangas.
Which was actually a good album.
Oh, I'll take your word for it.
Actually, no, I mean, I'm going to back you up. I had it on my Pandora, and it's pretty good.
What's really funny is
I'll check it out.
Dan is kind of sitting there in a stupor after the Chris Negus. Like, the entire... First off, we introduced Chris Negus on the foot of what Dan is trying to apologize for because of something he said. Well, and then, like, there's, like, you know, a Dan long section, like 20
in
minutes
silence.
In dead silence because he did not want to say anything at all during the Chris. So please,
he
Dan,
doesn't
go
trust
ahead.
Himself anymore.
Earlier, we were bringing up a news story that went viral about a house that a young lady was inhabiting and then came to find out on a TV show that it was a site of very many gruesome murders.
Yes.
And I'd made a very insensitive gesture saying that they should make it a tour attraction. That way people didn't die for no reason. That is an incredibly stupid and distasteful comment that I made. And I'm not one of those guys who just does shock value for shock value. Like, if I say it, I mean it. In this case, I said it joking around, immediately realized that that's just not who I am, and I shouldn't have said that. So I would like to apologize wholeheartedly and to any of the family members, anybody that's out there that still has to deal with this. That was not cool. It was not funny, and it was stupid, and it's cowardly to say stuff like that when you're stuck in a studio. So once again, I'm sorry.
Now, Bobby, at the end of the segment here, you said that we've got a special guest calling in. You're not going to give us any hints whatsoever.
No hints at all for this guest.
Is it George W. Bush?
Oh, I'd love to.
Is it Barack Obama?
Is it George Herbert?
Actually, I have put a request in to try and get us Obama on.
That would be really cool if we could pull that off.
But no, it's not. But if, I do want to tell you.
If they screen the show at all, that will not.
Yeah.
don't ruin it for anybody. No.
I want to tell people to go to thequnow.com. Make sure you guys register to get your chance to get tickets at the Muni to go see the Seussical, which runs from the 22nd to the 30th of July. It's a completely new kind of concept. This is the first time it's debuting here in St. Louis, but it's a really cool show. It's like seven or eight of Dr. Seuss's books put into a play, Broadway style, on stage.
I would like to go see that. We should try to get tickets for us to go see that.
What? I will see what I can do.
What's your favorite Dr. Seuss book?
Man, that is such a hard Mark, one.
Green Damn. Eggs and Ham because it has food in it.
I like
that was for Bobby.
The Places You Will Go.
What a joke.
Places You Will Go is my favorite.
Oh, nice. I actually like Redfish, Bluefish.
Oh, nice. Nice. Do you think all of those are represented in the show?
I don't know which ones are.
I know the main ones, which are like Thing One, Thing Two is represented because the Cat in the Hat is going to be represented. Horton Hears a Who is going to be represented.
The Lorax, perhaps?
Potentially. I don't know about The Lorax, but I know.
It's a great show. That's a great movie, actually.
I know.
Do you think movie rights kind of mess up parts of the show or prevent them from doing certain things?
Anyway, wait a second. Before we go any further, I'm just conjecturing on the Seussical. Yeah. All this for the Seussical as well in the Muni. Go to muni.org to find out more information, to buy tickets. But go to thequnow.com, click the contest section at the top of the page. And when you do that, enter in for your chance to win a pair of tickets to go to the Muni and see the Seussical. So
we've got some other stuff up there too that's really cool. So make sure you guys register. We've got a lot of stuff that we're going to be giving away.
All right, I got to talk to you guys about this story because Dan, this is going to blow your mind. Okay, fire officials say a West Seattle man was using a lighter and a can of spray paint to kill a spider in his laundry room when the house went up in flames. Fire crews were called to a home in the 10,200 block. Or 10-200 block of 34th Avenue Southwest just before 8:30 p.m. on this past Tuesday. Firefighters originally battled the blaze from a distance after learning there may be ammunition inside. Crews were eventually able to extinguish the fire, but not before it did significant damage to the structure. A man who lived at the home told fire officials that he was trying to kill a spider in his laundry room using a can of spray paint and a lighter when the walls caught fire, according to Kyle Moore with the Seattle Fire Department.
The wall that the spider was on. Maybe.
Yeah, definitely. The man wasn't able to put the fire out himself, and he left the home when it began to spread. I don't want to encourage people to do this, but that's what he did, Moore said. The spider tried to get into the wall. He sprayed flames on the wall, lit the wall on fire, and that extended up the ceiling. So I love the fact that he sprays it on the wall and then lights the wall on fire. It's not just the whole idea like a WD-40 can, like spray gun, you know? It's just, I'm just going to spray it and then light it on fire.
Yeah.
That's genius.
First of all. Yes. If it was a big enough spider,
yep.
Totally worth it.
Are you?
Second of
one
all,
one of these
though,
spider people.
But he had ammunition, so why didn't he just shoot at the wall?
America, you're vegan. Doesn't that prevent you from killing spiders?
No, he just can't. He just can't like eat one.
Oh, right.
Or drink its blood because it's a byproduct.
Look, dude, when they come into my house, it's them or me.
That's true.
Them or me.
It's total war.
I've got to protect my family.
The average American ingests 30 spiders in their lifetime.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't ever know about it until... Never mind, I'm not even going to go that far.
Don't forget, Bobby, you need to make up for a random fact last week with the cheese situation because Dan Walsh. So when we get to random facts at the end of the show, you're going to have to make up for that.
I heard Dan was pretty cheesed.
I do have a quick rant I want to do. Okay. I got a quick rant that I want to do.
I knew you were going to fit this in.
I got a quick rant that I want to do. Okay,
we got to hurry with this rant.
Okay. People, why? Okay. All right, fine.
I don't. This guest is awesome.
Bobby is the producer.
Yes.
You listen to Bobby.
Thank you. Thank you, guy with the tattoo on his belly. Okay.
Thank you.
People using heavy metal and hardcore music in their fight videos online, stop it. I am so sick.
You're not a fan?
Wrestling videos and MMA videos and just guys who are doing like basement brawls with each other, you know, around their buddies with a bunch of Natty Light cans on the ground.
You're not watching the right videos.
And everything has to be a freaking hardcore band that's playing over to like CKY is constantly just running over the top of every single one of these or Clutch. Like, stop it. Just because it's hardcore doesn't mean the guys in the band are tough. It doesn't mean that they're saying anything tough. It doesn't mean anything tough at all. It's just a lot of screaming and like this. And you're just punching somebody and you're really not even connecting all that hard. Let's be honest. It's not just knockout videos. It's you fighting another guy who's also fighting like somewhat of a girl half the time.
You need to start watching World Star Hip Hop, baby.
Dude, yeah. That's,
do you base this off your huge background in heavy metal and hardcore music?
No, it's just stupid. Like it's every single video for every single pro wrestling event that's like independent
or
it's just ridiculous. It's every single time they've got to do some hardcore song over the top of it. Like, here's my clips of all my greatness. Well, and then it's like some of your spots you're hitting are crap. Some of the knockouts that you're throwing really aren't knockouts. A guy slips and you just happen to jump on top of him and start beating him down. Like, you're not really fighting and you're not being really tough.
Well, no, I will agree on the level of wrestling. I think we're all familiar with independent wrestling. And why does every independent wrestler need to have some terrible metal song?
See, I wanted mine to be done to the Bee Gees. Like, as I'm wrestling, it's like, more than a woman to me.
Damn, that's beautiful.
I thought it'd be cool.
Yeah, here we go. That's not even really hardcore, though. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, like,
this is Smash and Punk.
Yeah, I'm looking for, like,
the beginning is the end.
No, no, no. CM Punk's intro. Like, Killswitch Engage. So, like, I'm talking about everything's got to be. Like, you know.
And it's
just. It's just ridiculous. Yeah. We gotta ask Sam when he gets in here later with the porno stuff. Like, if they play like heavy hardcore music over the top of it, like
I bet they play sweet sultry music.
Hold on, I want to start a Kickstarter right now for Mark Bland
for potato salad
to do an acapella heavy metal record.
Like, I just get it, okay? We understand. You're trying to scream because you can't sing.
You're like a prodigy.
Kickstarter.
You're like an artist. I've just discovered you.
Can't sing, and you're like, listen, you're like stupid, so
beautiful people.
Yeah, just like, okay, you know what? You were a big part of the STL Punk days. Remember STL Punk? Yeah. Everybody in the STL Punk community, guess what? I respect you a little bit. There were certain bands that I liked, but I'll tell you this, for the most part, most of you sucked because you were just trying to rehash Circle Jerks crap from the 1980s, you weren't very good at it, okay? Most of you.
You know what used to run a punk and hardcore heavy metal label?
I don't even care, dude. It's, yeah,
like,
you
I put
had
out all
crap
music you could,
Circle Jerk wannabes on there, and they were sucky, and you made no money in it, did you?
And who were the crap Circle Jerk wannabes? Name one band.
Couldn't even remember them because if they had made good music, I would have wanted to hear them again. Uh-huh. Steve, Bob,
Steve, did
Tom.
Wait a minute. You saw Steve, Bob, and Tom?
I was wrong.
Time out. I want to go back to the Kickstarter idea because...
Mark Bland, acapella, heavy metal?
No, not that Kickstarter idea. The potato salad Kickstarter.
Of course you do.
No, this is a story.
Of course.
Well,
listen, your special guest is supposed to be calling in shortly here.
He should be calling in about 30 seconds.
Okay, well, we'll see how close he is.
Let's time it.
But anyway, there was a story I just... A dude started
yummy,
a Kickstarter campaign because he needed $10 for potato salad.
Yep.
He told one friend that went viral. He now gained $35,000 on Kickstarter for potato salad.
Low hanging fruit. Okay.
This is why they should release lions at random just to thin the herd, dude. Because you know they would get rid of a lot of people they need to be getting rid of, including people that are, like, always forgetting stuff.
I heard that.
They would forget Lion Day. They would walk out and be like, oh, man, it's Lion Day. Too late.
You're not lying about that.
Too late.
So, Bobby, you told me that you had a special guest for Justin, myself, and the Polar Vortex over here. What do you got for us?
Okay, sir? So I've always wanted to do this interview again. I've talked to this person one time before, and I've always wanted to bring this gentleman back because he was one of my favorite people ever.
Yep.
I'm not going to tell you who he is.
Okay.
I'm going to do one thing, and that's play a song.
Play it.
And you'll know instantly
play
who it,
it
is.
Play it. Oh, wait a second. This is getting deep, man. We're going back a few years here. Justin.
This is a deep cut.
What do you think?
This is a deep cut. I know this. I know this.
I know this, wait, too, but then we're talking like 80s, 90s, early 90s.
My arms
something
are doing
like that.
Something here. My arms are doing
can't
something.
Get them to stop. Ladies and gentlemen, Bobby, please go ahead and introduce us.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome a WWE legend. He is Bushwhacker Luke.
Bushwhacker.
Whoa, g'day, mateys. Oh, it's bloody great to be on your show, and I'm looking forward to coming to WrestleFest 5.
Oh, my goodness. Bushwhacker Luke, I was surprised completely. Bobby throws this at me at the last possible second, and first off, welcome to the queue. I really appreciate you coming on
here,
sir.
I'd love to be on the queue, mate. How the bloody hell are you doing, mate?
We're
looking
doing
good.
We're doing fantastic. Where are you at right now, sir?
I'm in Florida, mate.
You're in
Clearwater
Florida.
Clearwater Beach, Florida.
Ah, that's beautiful down there.
That
that's beautiful
exhausting.
Weather. Is that where you live permanently?
Yeah, I have a fitness center right above Hulk Hogan's Beach Shop.
Oh, well,
really?
There you go.
Really?
That's nice. So, hey, Luke, you've been around for, gosh, how many years has it been since you started wrestling?
I started wrestling in 1962.
62, wow. Man.
I started full-time traveling around in 66. Butch and me were together for 34 years.
Wow.
How's that? So what other tag team were traveling around the world for 34 years?
That's amazing, sir. Now, let's see here. 62, 72, 82, 92, 2002. Uh-oh, 2012. You've been in wrestling for 50 full years plus. That's impressive as hell.
That's amazing.
That is one of the most amazing things I've ever... I don't think there's another...
Wait, 52 years.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
52 years.
52 or 50 plus years. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I don't know if there's another wrestler other than... Like, who else might be Harley Race, but he's not still active.
No.
I don't know who else might would be as long in the business as you, technically.
I think what you're saying is we need to build a statue of this man right now.
I'm a dinosaur, mate.
Yeah, you might be a dinosaur, but you're a very well-known and legendary dinosaur.
Mate, I've got ever-ready batteries. I keep on marching around.
Fair enough. So you're going to be coming to Chicago for WrestleFest 5. And do we know who he's taking on? Are we sure yet who he's taking on? Or is he just billed to be there and to take?
I just billed to be there, mate. But what a great card there is there. Have you seen the lineup?
Yeah, I have seen some of the lineup. That's why I was wondering who the person was. But
WrestleFest 5. It's a festival.
It is
of
a festival
wrestling.
Of wrestling. Now,
this
tell
is
us,
amazing.
Tell us a little bit about your career. So you were with your partner for 34 years. Tell us about how Vince McMahon found you guys and signed you.
Well, the funny part is, as the storyline went, they found Bobby Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon found us at Busch Gardens. That's hence the Bushwhackers. Busch Gardens in Florida.
Found them at Busch Gardens.
As the story goes, in reality, and that was, we were working for NWA, the Crockett's office out of Carolinas. You know, that was more or less the major company in the country before Vince Jr. pushed WWF to worldwide status. You know, NWA out of Charlotte was doing all over North America. They were on TBS. So we were working for them, and I got the phone call. And I didn't know who. I got a message on my phone saying, I can call this number. I'm listening to you. This is a Pat. And I didn't know who this Pat was. He said, Pat here, give me a call at this number when you have time. I'm going to talk to you. And that, so we're in the gym Saturday morning, and I come out, got this message, got on the phone, and it was Pat Patterson.
Wow.
And the background was Vinnie Mac. He all of a sudden yelled out, get a Kiwi and blah, blah, blah. Next minute, we're up in New York doing to see Vince the next minute. So a month later, we did a month of vignettes.
How many years were you with the World Wrestling Federation, Bushwhacker Luke?
That was from 88 to the last time I worked for them in 2001, but full-time I was to 96, started 97.
That's excellent.
Now, the one title that it, as I'm looking at your Wikipedia page.
Awesome.
The one title it looks like you and Bushwhacker Butch never got to accomplish was the WWF tag team titles. Do you kind of have a resentment for that?
So the situation was the head, Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson had them, and then the Brainbusters, and we just started an angle, and I cracked a vertebrae in my neck, and I was out for about 8 weeks or 10 weeks, and then that put that in the SHITTER.
I see. Now, Bushwhacker Luke, you know, I remember watching the World Wrestling Federation Entertainment at that time. I remember the Bushwhackers being a huge fan of all the pay-per-views you appeared on, the Royal Rumble, everything like that. Around that time, the early 90s, I went to a flea market, and I picked up some old magazines called Pro Wrestling Illustrated from the 80s. And I looked in these magazines, and I saw this heinous, violent tag team called the Sheepherders. And wait a minute.
The Sheepherders.
Those are the Bushwhackers. Can you tell us a little bit about what it was like to switch from such a violent style to such an entertainment-driven style?
That question has been asked for me for many years. How can you go from being one of the violentest tag teams in the business? We were hardcore before hardcore was a name brand.
Yes,
and that to a Bushwhacker. And that was easy. Money. We went from a wrestling status to a celebrity status.
Fair enough. That doesn't really knock you on that one at all whatsoever. Now, Bushwhacker Luke, what is going on with Bushwhacker Butch?
Butch left me in 2002. He went back to New Zealand to be with his kids and his grandkids.
Do you guys ever catch up?
Yeah, I was back there in the 2012, 2013 to finish off television about wrestling. School Wrestling Spectacular, 100 years of wrestling on the mat in New Zealand.
Oh, wow.
The guys been coming over here, getting all the guys that wrestled in the late 60s, 70s, and early 80s in New Zealand before Vince Jr. took over. And, of course, there's Don Morocco, there's a lot of Rick Martel, there's a lot of guys, Harley Race.
So many legends.
Ric Flair, he's got a video on them all and that.
Luke.
He's got speeches from all.
I have a question for you here, and that's so many legends you just mentioned, but you being a legend, in the WWE, there's now, I'm sure you're aware, the WWE Network. And the fans who are young, who didn't live through you in the WWF like I did, they can go back and they can watch some of those pay-per-views. If we have a listener that hasn't seen the Bushwhackers, what's a pay-per-view event that you remember that you would recommend someone go check out to get a taste of the Bushwhackers?
The first one, I think, was the WrestleMania, was in the Trump Plaza against Rougeau. There's been numerous ones, mate. The one that I would check out was the one in England before they pulled down the Wembley Stadium. That was the old Wembley Stadium where there was 94,000 people.
SummerSlam.
Axel, Jim Duggan, me and Butch against the Mountie and the Nasties.
Excellent.
Do you miss Zubaz pants, sir? Remember the Zubaz workout pants? Do you miss those bad boys?
I wore them all the time around for many years, mate.
Fanny packs and Zubaz, baby. That's all that I remember from the late 80s pro wrestling. Like, anytime there was, like, a magazine photo.
And Hawk, the Road Warriors, they were there. They bought that line of pants out. And Hawk moved from Minnesota down to the beach where I lived. In between St. Petersburg and Clearwater, lived next to me. He became a close friend. God bless his soul.
Interesting. And Bushwhacker Luke was just announced as being a part of the Golden Ticket Battle Royal that will be happening at WrestleFest 5. Basically, what that means is that the Golden Ticket will be a shot at the Pro Wrestling Blitz Heavyweight Championship, which is currently being held by Al Snow.
Wow.
Snow way.
Yeah.
Snow
do you like head, sir?
Right.
I just want to.
Everybody like him.
Everybody loves him.
Mate,
that's all I'm saying.
And mate, here's the topper on it. And being from down under,
fair enough.
That's the first thing that comes to mind. Yeah, from down under.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say, Bushwhacker Luke, I know that you're a very busy man. I want to thank you so much for coming on the queue and joining us today. You're going to be at WrestleFest 5.
WrestleFest 5, Saturday, August.
What a card they have there, mate. They've got them from Kurt Angle, Big Sexy Kevin Nash, there's the Worm, Scotty Duhati, they're all there. What a card. I'm looking forward to marching in there and doing my thing.
WrestleFest 5, Saturday, August 9th. Doors open at 4 p.m., bell time at 6. Scotty Tuhati, Kurt Angle, Kevin Nash, Booker T, Scott Steiner, Abyss, X-Pac, Al Snow, Sabu, Rhino, Bushwhacker Luke, and the list just keeps going on.
What's the website for that bad boy over there?
Go to pwblitz.com, or you can check him out on Twitter at pwblitz on Twitter. August 9th at the Joliet Park District.
BLITZ.com.
Blitz. There it is. Ladies and gentlemen, Bushwhacker Luke, thank you so much for joining us today, sir. We appreciate it.
Whoa.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us here on this Hour of the Q. We will be back with a very special guest, a gentleman by the name of Sam Arcabasso. He's trying to turn the world into, or St. Louis at least, into a porn hub. We will talk to him. We'll be back on the Q right after this.
Here's this week's phone scam. Check it out.
Hello?
I have just one question for you. Are you ready?
Am I ready for what? Who is this?
Are you ready for this Sunday night when WWE champ John Cena defends his title in the WWE Super Slam? Right now you can order this awesome pay-per-view event for just $59.99.
I'm sorry, no, there is not any chance in hell that we're ever going to have wrestling in this house again. But thank you, but no. Have a good day. Hello?
And goodbye to anyone standing in John Cena's way when he takes on six men in a steel cage shoots and ladders match at WWE Super Slam. Order now and save $10 with a low price of just $49.99.
Sir, you guys just called me, and as I mentioned before, we're not ordering this, so please stop calling my house. Thank you and goodbye.
Hi, can I speak to Champ?
Who?
Champ? Is Champ there?
Who is Champ?
That question will be answered this Sunday night! John Cena defends the belt!
Listen!
At WWE
hey.
Super Slam!
Hey, sir!
Taking on Sheamus!
Quit calling my house!
The Undertaker!
Quit calling me!
CM Punk! And even Triple H and The Big Show in a spit-swapping makeout match! WWE Super
Slam! Hello? Hello? Can you stop screaming in your little sirens and whatever that is? Can you knock it off for 5 seconds? Not interested. Stop calling my f***ing house. Hello?
I'm watching you.
Excuse me?
That's exactly what The Undertaker told John Cena! But will he be able to take the belt from the mightiest champion in WWE history at this weekend's WWE Super Slam?
For the love of all that is stop calling my house
John
before
Cena.
I get your number, I will track
triple,
you down and absolutely tear you
ladder.
To pieces. Do you understand me? I know who you are. John Cena, crazy motherfucker. Stop calling my house now. No wrestling, no super motherfucking slam is happening in this house. I swear to Jesus, if this is those wrestling f***s again.
Okay, good morning. Hi, I'm just calling this morning to ask if you're a supporter of the United States military.
Oh, my God, I apologize. We've been getting calls all morning. I apologize, and yes.
Fantastic.
Yes, I am.
Great. Are you a supporter of the Marine Corps?
Yes, absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
Great, because a former decorated member of the United States Marine Corps needs your support.
And his name is John C. He's going to get in the ring and put boots to asses.
You?
This
Are you kidding me right now?
WWE.
Are you kidding me right now? I can't even handle this. I cannot handle this.
Available right now at a low price of only $39.99.
I can't believe you're still calling me. I'm about to lose my I swear I'm about to call the police.
Hello. You have a collect call from
John Cena!
Will you accept the charges?
Oh, f*** your mother. Listen! Stop calling! Is listening not your strong suit? Is, but you're not hearing me. Shut your f***ing beaten down brain from Super Slam and listen. I am not. I don't care if they're $59, $49, $39, or 39 f***ing cents. I don't want it. It won't happen. It's not coming on my TV again. It won't be allowed in this house. Do you understand me? Never again will there be wrestling here in this house. Not a piece of going through closets and taking out t-shirts and burning them and calling the police and telling you that you're harassing me. Stop it now. And I am calling the police. Good luck to you. Have a nice day. F*** yourself.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Of course, Mark Bland, joined today by producer Bobby, the Polar Vortex himself, Mr. Reality, Dan Walsh, as well as Dimofo on Twitter
and Instagram.
Welcome back. Of course, I've already said that so many times to you already. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let us not waste any of your time out there. Here on the queue, sometimes, I will just say this, a nugget of love falls into my lap when I least expect it. I mean, it really perfect. Is.
That is probably perfect. The worst segue to what we're going to talk about.
Might want to see a doctor about
are you
that.
Really? Bobby, are you really going to go there on this show? Really?
No, nugget of love. Right.
Yeah, you're not going to get out of there. Ladies
Let's
and gentlemen,
go back to the love notes.
Please welcome to our show, Sam Arcabasa. What's up, Sam Arcabasa?
Hey,
go ahead, talking to that
How's
bad boy.
Going, right guys?
Get that bad boy up
right,
on you, man.
Get a little closer.
Same. Same. Talk on that bad boy.
You've probably seen this a lot. Get right up here.
Get right
like
up
that.
On it.
Like that.
You want to get really close to it. You want to put it in your mouth.
Right. And there's the low-hanging
fruit. That sounds really sexual.
Right. You got to learn to take direction, too.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sam Arcabasa is a young, how old are you, sir?
22.
22 years old, St. Louisan, who, like I said, this fell into my lap kind of because the Riverfront Times in St. Louis did an article on Sam Arcabasa himself, as well as his little team that he's working with right now. And if I could be so bold, Sam, please correct me if I'm wrong. Sam wants to take St. Louis and turn it into the San Fernando Valley of the Midwest. Is this not true?
You hit it spot on.
He wants to. He is
Mark. You found the spot.
You are. Go ahead and let everybody know what you do. What are you?
I produce amateur porn in the St. Louis area. That's pretty much sums it up.
God bless you.
There's not a whole lot else than that.
Young entrepreneur. What's bringing industry back to St. Louis?
I like that very much.
What's the website?
Do you have a website, sir?
No, we're in the process of building it right now.
Damn it.
So Sam Arcabasa is a young 22-year-old St. Louisan who has decided to venture into the world of amateur porn shooting, and he is going to start producing movies as well as probably online stuff. And is just still shot stuff too, or is it all movie based?
No, we do stills. We start off with stills, and then we progress from there into the video. We do a little testimonial, and then we roll a little bit after the pop shot too. But right now, we've been selling exclusively to sites like Homegrown Video, and we want to take that and put up our own site. Like I said, we're building that right now. And also sell to local shops in the St. Louis area.
I'm so intrigued.
How
by
did
this.
You get? First off, let's start off. Where are you from? What part of St. Louis are you from?
Florissant.
You're from Florissant.
Yeah.
Florissant.
Hazelwood West.
Hazelwood West.
Hazelwood Central.
Yeah, you're a horrible person.
Yeah, nobody cares.
We know. We've had this conversation.
We win stuff.
Yeah. Hold on. I got to find out. Did you just get bored watching the other stuff? So you were like, I'm going to make my own?
You know what, man? It seemed like it would be something that would be fun to do and make money.
Yeah, everybody thinks it's fun to make porn, but you never get the cojones to actually do it.
It was one of those things I just tried, and I just went with it, and it just took off really quick. I mean, like, instantly.
I have a problem.
Was it easy to find? Go ahead.
His story is similar to the strange donut story, only it's a different cream.
Yeah, it's a really bad. Justin is the king of puns.
He is from
donut holes too.
Yeah,
Dimofo over here is one of the worst pun guys that I've ever had the pleasure of sitting in a studio with.
No pun intended.
The same as being the best pun guy.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Dan, I think you got a groan out of him. It was almost as if it was pathetically looking down on you.
No, I aim to just get any reaction from him, just with his artist aspect of puns.
Now, thank you, Sam, do you have a daytime job?
No.
You don't have a daytime job. So what were you doing prior to this idea? Was it just a situation where you were looking for something and this seemed like a natural move for you? Were you really interested in porn?
Guys, not
everything's a joke all the time. I'm trying to get a serious interview out of Sam Arcabasso here. I mean, he's 20 years old. I want him to get the pop shot correct here. Well, so
you know what, really? I worked a lot of small little jobs that I hated, and I was kind of in between looking for a new one, and I was, man, what can I do to make money right now? And it was honestly one of the first things I thought of, so I just kind of went with that, and it worked out good.
So did you start off with self stuff? Like, were you involved in the porn yourself?
No.
Or was this someone you knew that you could get involved with, or how, what did you do? Just start just calling people?
You
or?
Know what? I was just kind of BSing with my brother, and we came up with an idea to maybe shoot some porn and put an ad on Craigslist and just fish and see if anybody would bite. And we had, like, the first ad that I put out, I had 5 or 6 people respond to it.
Now, were you looking for guys, girls specifically?
I put young men and women. So whoever was interested. And we had, I think 2 women, though, and they were both decent looking.
Wow.
Right from the start.
Now, were these women people who worked in the industry in some form or fashion prior, or was this just their first time?
One was, and that was our first video. We did just a solo masturbation video on her. It was like 22 minutes long, 23 minutes long, and that was our first video. She had one prior video.
Tell me about this first video. Start off at the beginning.
Make your answer last 22 minutes.
How does it start off? Like, is she rubbing on herself?
You know what?
Stop it. As soon as Mark said that, it got weird.
It's just kind of really started off with the testimonial. We did stills first.
Don't bump on the table, because every time you bump on the table, I'm thinking about me bumping. Yeah. Never mind. Okay. It's going to get me aroused here.
Yeah, no, we...
keep going. Go ahead.
We started off with stills, and then from there, we went to a little testimonial. You know, she's saying she's not under the influence of drugs and
this
and that.
Oh, she's not, so she's straight edge?
She was straight edge during the video.
She got tattoos?
I don't think she had any tattoos, no.
Oh, man, that hurts.
She didn't have the cute little palm tree?
Was she like a Catholic schoolgirl?
She was a MILF. She was 33, I think.
Oh, she's a MILF.
Yeah, but you couldn't tell. She looked 26, 27.
Creamy skin?
She was dark complected with blonde hair, yeah.
Was there anybody by the name of Dan with a rippling six-pack body around her at all?
I don't think so, porns all the time. I don't know.
Dan falls on gay porns all the time, according to a sex therapist named Lindsay.
I'm not dressed right. And they're like, whatever, get you in your non-fashion out of my gay porn videos. And I'm
this
like,
is really can, interesting. So, anyway. Like, how long have you been doing this currently?
About 7 months.
Yep. So right off the bat, you had some success with the first masturbation video. How did you distribute originally? Was it just word of mouth, or did you go to specific sites to try to get them?
Went to Homegrown Video, and it takes like 30 days for them to send you your money.
Really? So like, you get a percentage of money because it's ad-based?
Well, no. With Homegrown, you sell it to them. They'll make a bid on it. And you can tell them, yeah, that's a good bid, or no, we want it higher. I just said, yeah, it was my first video. I said, yeah, that's perfect.
How much did you get for your first video?
$350
yeah. bucks.
Wow.
And that's cool, though. Like, yeah. You're like,
how much money do you guys got?
I just think that's really interesting that, like, your first time out, you do something, it's unique. Obviously, did you have a process going into it? Like, you wanted to use multiple cameras? Did you do a single camera shoot? Like, What was the process on that side?
We had a general idea, but it was pretty much free winging. We just went in there with really no expectations, and it was me and a guy I found on Craigslist, Corey, and he's my partner still.
Right.
That was actually my brother was the first. We shot with him first.
Right, okay.
But, you know, recently, when I switched to having Corey as my cameraman, we had absolutely no expectations. And our videos, when I started off with my brother, he was recording, and it was really pretty bad camera work. So that's when I switched to Corey.
You know, there are a lot of things I do with my brother, but probably not.
but watch porn. Well, I don't know.
He wanted to star in them. I'm like, man, that's kind of weird for me because I'm like getting you girls to have sex with on camera. And I really don't want to see your junk.
So here's my question for you. So there's no interest from you whatsoever to actually perform.
None.
Okay. But obviously you're doing this for the first time. You've obviously been with women before. So it's not like this is a new thing for you to see a naked girl live, but obviously guys get aroused. Like it's just the natural process. You see a hot chick, she's, you know, doing her thing and you're like, oh man, I want to get aroused.
Right.
Same for gays and everybody else.
Right.
So my question is while you're in the middle of this, are you getting excited about this? Is the cameraman getting excited about this? Or was this just like business for business sake?
I would find it
really hard to like be like, guys, give me a couple minutes here. Really I'll be right hard. Back.
I'm completely stressed. The whole shoot. I'm super stressed. I'm just hoping.
You should relieve that stress.
Oh my God.
I'm just hoping.
I know this is a masturbation video, ma'am, but I'm going to need a fluffer for myself.
Yeah.
And then we'll get back to shooting you.
So,
okay.
So where do you cross? What's that line that you won't go over with these videos? Like, what would you obviously like? You know, some weird, crazy stuff. But like for you, where do you say nope? We're done. We're not doing that.
Whatever the site wants, I'll do. I don't care. I mean, if it makes money and people are interested in it, that excites me.
DPLP, DBBM.
Yeah, whatever, man.
What you just said?
All these abbreviations.
That's double penetration, double elastic dildo, big, beautiful breasted black women.
Or how often did you put that into a search engine? I just want to know.
I went to porn wall.
That was way too quick.
Mark gets that a lot. That was way too quick.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, I'm just going to be honest with you. I appreciate you coming on the show. I think that this is an ingenious situation. You found some success with it. It's starting to go. What's the response been with it amongst the friends and family, as well as the people of St. Louis in general?
My family's really laid back. I mean, they've been really supportive over it. I mean, they think it's funny. I mean, I just one day decided to do porn.
What was your mother's, because moms are always the best ones. What did your mother say when you were like, Mom, I'm going to start producing pornography?
My whole family was just really cool about it. I mean, no one had any objections at all. I mean, really, my brother thinks it's hilarious, and he was the one who I started it with. And, you know, he has other obligations in life, so he couldn't continue with that, I guess. But
fair enough. I mean, that's all right, though.
Yeah, okay. My brother's actually 47, 48.
Wow.
So he's got his own thing going on. He's doing his own thing.
But you get those knocks on the door at the studio, and they're like, Sam, it's your brother. Let me in real quick. Are you guys shooting right now? Because I just need like 5 minutes and then I'll get out of the studio. I'll be fine. Like,
is Stephanie there?
I think she liked me last time.
Did that 22 minute girl come back?
Oh my goodness.
So Sam, you want to turn it into the San Fernando. Do you think that the potential is there for St. Louis to be this kind of, I mean, we do have a lot of rural areas where, like, you know, there's, you could go out into the farm fields and things like that.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Shoot a lot of stuff.
Sexy.
Where are you? Are you shooting in St. Louis right now currently?
Yeah, we shoot a lot at Utopia Studios. And
so
that's
you just
real
rent,
close to here.
You just rent a studio out and then you go in and do your thing.
Yeah.
Do they know about it? Like,
yeah,
they know
they're
cool?
Completely cool with it.
When
I mean, it's kind of like an alternative kind of place. Like they have like posters on the wall of, you know, like grunge bands and stuff like
well,
that.
Dynamo Pro Wrestling, which we're all involved with to some extent, they used to actually have their wrestling training center there.
Oh, cool, yeah.
So we understand that it can get unique over there.
I used to play a band that played
there. Yeah, mariachi bands and stuff, too.
Have you ever had, have you been shooting something next to a band that was practicing, and then they come and realize, oh, what's going on, and then they see what's going on
there? And then they play the soundtrack to it?
You know, no, but I mean, one of the last times we shot there, there was a band there, and we were waiting in line, me and a guy, to get snacks, and he was in the band. And he was like, well, you know, what are you doing here? And I was like, I'm shooting a porn. And he looked at me and laughed, and I was like, no.
He thought it was really funny,
I'm seriously shooting a porn.
You know? I have an idea for one of your videos, and this is something that me and my friends have been talking about. Actually, it's a running joke for me and my buddies. We used to watch like the Cinemax After Dark stuff whenever they had like the soft porn.
Yeah, okay. Softcore porn.
But they always screw in the belly
button,
dude.
Screw in the belly button. We're like, always having sex with the belly button.
Like, they're going at it, but then there's always this like amazing saxophone riff that's going, or like this guitar riff. And he goes, I just want one of these movies one time for them to pan out from the sex, and then there's just some dude just sitting in the room just riffing a guitar. And he's not even looking at him having sex.
He's just like going
on the guitar. You gotta do that in one video.
That'd be awful.
No one else will understand it, but I will buy 40 copies of it.
I mean, hey, I'm down, man.
I'm
game for that.
I have another question too. And if it's too personal or whatever, dude, just like a guy just ripping it out.
He's doing it.
And he's tatted.
Always ripping it out.
Yeah, ripping
it out.
Go ahead,
what's your question for him? What's your question?
So, I don't know if you seem like a very nice young man.
Yeah.
And very mild-mannered, very, very respectful. He's dressed very respectable. No tattoos. You have your lady friend here with you, who is also seems like a very mild-mannered young lady. How does she feel about this?
Well,
like, I mean, is she a friend or? No,
we've been dating for 2 years now, and
this is your girlfriend.
Yeah, she was completely opposed to it. And I'm like, look, I really think. I mean, there was so many people biting as soon as I put the Craigslist ad on the first week. I mean, there was probably 20 people.
Yeah, because for you, it's money. It's like money. It's just a job. I
don't have a job right now, and. I was looking
and
it up online.
And I
want
to take you out. I want to take you out to the TGIF.
Yeah.
She's high
maintenance too, so it works out perfectly.
Yeah.
Extremely high maintenance. So
the face now, you just got, you're not doing porn anymore.
Yeah, you're done, dude.
This was the beginning and the end.
Now she's totally on board. You know,
you're not
but the first couple
that's
of months,
that's because she's cashing them checks
right,
out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Does she have to does she work with you on them? Not, and I don't mean in them. Right. But like, does she get people water or anything?
Yeah,
like
she'll go and she'll go up to the snack bar and help out.
So she's like a production assistant.
Yeah. Give her that microphone. Come up here. Come up here.
Come
just
on.
Jump over here. Yeah, get up here on the microphone.
She's such a nice young lady.
Go ahead. Introduce yourself to everybody out there.
Hello, I'm Allison.
Hi, Allison.
Hello,
thank
Allison.
You so much for coming on the queue here with Sam. We appreciate it. So tell us a little bit. Like, what ran through your mind the first minute he came to you with this one?
Well, at the time, I was working, so I wasn't able to be around all the time, and I was very opposed to it. I did not like it at all. Just, I thought he was crazy, honestly. Like, who thinks to shoot porn? But, I mean,
who doesn't?
It seems to be working out really good for him now, so I'm actually really proud of him.
Now, what do you do for a living yourself? Like, you don't have to tell us the exact place you work at or anything.
I don't. Work anymore.
You don't work anymore.
No.
So you're living
well,
off that porn.
Of course you're on board now.
She's living off that porn money.
There's not a day that I don't wake up and not have to go to work. I'm not poor.
Justin, could you please stand up for me?
Yeah.
Could you please stand up? Show our friend Sam our specialness that you are.
Stop.
you gotta put this in your video.
You gotta put this in your next
video. We gotta get that into the video. That's his World Heavyweight Championship belt from WWE, actual line art.
You gotta turn around because there's more to it. There's more too. You got to show the actual belt straps.
It's the whole thing.
Your idea was to have someone playing sax or whatever. I say just to the corner
his stomach.
With his stomach like this, and he's just showing off his nipples and his belly and all that. I think that would be great.
Your next scene will be a lesbian one with two female wrestlers going at each other, and Justin's just in the background. Kind of like,
he's
not naked, just with the shirt off, just pelvic thrusting
now in
I
the
like
background.
It.
We got his erotic. Goal is to actually sell these videos, right?
Dude.
Now, we talked
about. We could sell them on NWR, dude. There'd be a huge.
We talked a little bit about it. We talked a little bit about it a few minutes ago, but I want to kind of get. So, how many videos have you shot up to now?
Probably about 15, 16.
15 to 16 videos, multiple styles, guy and girl, girl on girl. What's the weirdest you've gotten so far?
We've done a threesome with two guys where the guy's junk got a little too close.
Did that turn into a problem?
It was just kind of, I mean, no.
It was awkward. They were just looking at each other like, no.
You know what? They didn't care. They were completely distracted.
Did they fight each other with erect penises? Because that would be.
Let's call the sword fight.
I'm not saying my lightsaber, but it was close.
And I'm undefeated, just so you know.
So it was close. Okay.
It was really close.
Is there anything that you're looking to get into? Like, he asked about how far you're willing to go, but is there anything that you're looking to get into? Is there anybody that you're looking to work with in the industry? Like, is there some people that you, like, kept your eyes out for?
I would love to work with a big name.
Like, is Dan Walsh a big name?
Yeah, man. Hop on in. We'll get you in.
There's a potential. Hey, producer Bobby. We might be able to work this out because we're working on getting out to Vegas at the beginning of the year to go to the AVNs.
Yeah.
When we go to the AVNs, like, that could be a bonus moment.
You know what I mean? I want street creds, dude. I want to be able to interview someone and be like, listen, I know what it's like to go through the trials and tribulations of porn.
Well, let's go through to Dan Walsh.
Mm-hmm. Polar vortex.
Yeah. Would you be
stop?
Walking reality.
Yes.
King of all media.
Not the king of all media.
Just keep going.
In Czechoslovakia.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Oh,
Dan, would you be interested in doing porn?
I'll be honest with you. I mean, I don't.
That's a yes.
He's kind of thinking about it. What do you pay a porn actor? What do you pay your porn actors?
Honestly, like, the guys only are going to get about $75 to $125 a scene.
Yeah, the dudes don't get paid a lot. Yeah, that's why.
Guys are so
expensive. Yeah, because you couldn't use $125 at all.
Listen,
women control,
probably have to be really good at what you do, too. And I would be like, I'd be the guy that while they started shooting, but like, is this really happening?
But see, you don't know. Yeah. Dan's from Road Rules and MTV and all that, like Road Rules Challenges and all that. So that's a big name. Well known.
Yeah, we do porns all the time.
Not that you do porns all the time, but there's a name there, what I'm saying. Look, like, if you got the first Dan Walsh porn video.
If the Roadhead Challenge.
There it is. The Roadhead Challenge. That's the movie. Roadhead Challenge.
If Teen Mom can record a porno, we can get the Dan Walsh sex tape.
There we go. You know what? I just, like I said, I'd be the guy that would sit in there and as the, like, because I would want it elaborate. I want a threesome with two girls.
Threesome with two girls. Here we go. Come on, get up here.
He wants candles, lavender.
I want candles, lavender. I want a giraffe.
Can you have a monkey on a Chester drawers, and then you just have the monkey on the top of it with the fez hat on? Staring at him.
If we can get it, let's do it.
I want a dwarf in a zebra costume feeding the giraffe.
Yes.
With a whistle in his mouth. I don't know why. I just think that would turn me on.
It's logical. Yeah.
I think that this is an amazing setup.
I love how Sam just goes, it's logical.
Yeah. Like, Sam, well, it's because
Sam's like,
porn.
You wouldn't believe the emails I get.
Sam's thing is, it's porn. So he's like, just put him in a room and let him, you know, like, that's it. Like, that's his whole thought.
There's more to it,
you know,
though.
I'm sure there's more to it. I'm just saying.
I could tell you, you asked me earlier what the weirdest thing was that I've had happen to me in this.
Yes.
I figured it out. I get 5 to 10 pictures of every day in my email from guys. And, you know, hey, hi, my name's, you know, Jack. I'm 28 years old. I'd really like to do porn. And he's just, you know. And, you know, that was kind of weird for me. So, not gonna lie.
That would be weird for me, too. And I don't even shoot porn.
Sweetheart, stop looking at the preview.
I'll tell you this, Sam. If you have ever looked at Craigslist, casual encounters, any time between 2 and 5 in the morning, all you see are penis pictures. I've heard. I don't know. I mean, that's all he's heard.
So I've heard.
And they're all Justin's.
They could be. Well, Sam Arcabasso, I'm just going to be really. Are you related to the Arcabasso family that's well known for the foods here in the St. Louis area?
Yeah, it's my dad, my uncle.
My dad
owned Paisanos and Franco's, and my uncle Tom, he owned Arcabasso's, and we owned Domenico's.
Does he still own Arcabasso's?
Aside from porn, can you get us some food?
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's some pretty expensive food. They don't even let me get it for free.
Yeah, but if we filmed a porn
what
for
if
you?
There was the Arcabasso porn collection? Do you see what I'm saying? Like, it's always, like, you're talking about your uncles coming to you and they're like, hey, listen, we need some product placement.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? You could put some of our Buffalo Wild Wing sauce here on the, right here next to the bed. That'd be awesome.
On the dresser.
Might be able to work something out.
On the dresser.
You should do one where it's like food fetish porn. Right. Like, where they're squirting stuff on each other.
Yeah, have the Arcabasso
dressing. But you have the Arcabasso dressing there. Like this.
Keep going.
Wet noodles. Pop sauce.
Now you're talking about my kind of porn.
Yeah, Bobby's getting.
We got fettuccine Alfredo. Oh, we got garlic cheese bread going everywhere.
Marinara.
This is so weird. I apologize that you have to deal with it.
If you're gonna have a St. Louis,
what about Bobby? Bobby's a big boy. I mean, could we get him in there? Like there's a lot of women that love that big style. You know what I'm saying?
We can do like a BBM, man. We can do this.
Big-breasted males.
Yeah,
big beautiful man. We can
That's
do it.
Pretty Bobby. Much what it is, big-breasted males. Oh, my goodness.
So, basically, we all have jobs after this.
Yeah, we'll have jobs.
I'd like to get a job after this.
Of some sort.
Of some sort.
I have no clue where this segment just went.
It doesn't matter. Ladies and gentlemen,
going into the history
we're
going to
take a quick break here on The Q. I want to seriously implore you to go to theqnow.com worldwide on the internet every single week here. Also, 1380thex.com, Sundays 1 to 3 p.m. Central Standard, and 1420 WINI every Saturday morning, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Standard. We'll be back on the Q with Sam Arcabasso and the team right after this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Of course, Mark Bland joined today by the Polar Vortex, Dan Walsh, Dimofo on Twitter
and Instagram,
as well as producer Bobby and our special guest, Sam Arcabasso. And I'm sorry, I feel so horrible. What is your name?
Allison.
Allison. I wanted to say Ashley for some reason. I don't know why I was going to say that.
Ashley Madison.
Allison.
Ashley Madison, yes. No, her name's not Ashley Madison.
I know, but it's a website.
It is a website, but I
and they're not paying us anything. So
So Sam Arcabasso is a amateur porn videographer here in the St. Louis and director.
Job creator.
You're all of them. You're a job creator.
Everything but camera.
Everything but camera. And this man is
a lot of people
trying
jobs in his videos.
Yeah.
If you haven't been listening to the show, Sam is trying to turn St. Louis into a porn hub of some sort. And he seems to be doing a really good job of it. And we're really proud and happy that you're on the queue today. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You said you had a couple of questions. Did you not?
I have so many.
Go for it.
Earlier this week, the Riverfront Times, you were the cover article. Just in the first day, what kind of response did you get from that
article?
A ton.
I mean, my email pretty much lit up. My phone lit up. A lot of people that I haven't spoke to in years called me, and they're like, "What are you doing on here?" You know,
any attaboy, Sam?
Yeah, everybody was like, "Congrats!" Yeah.
There was just a lot of that.
Yeah,
it was pretty cool though. It was nice.
Got a load of
emails.
So
you mentioned before the break that it's weird that you get emails with penis pictures, yet you're trying to sell all of us penis pictures. Are you not?
Yeah, no, I am.
All right. At least you're coming clean on that.
I do have a question for Allison over here. So we talked about the fact that you're with this man. He brings us to the table. You eventually became pretty cool with it. Now, have you looked into this as something that you would be interested in trying at any time? Like, have you guys discussed that between the two of you?
Like being in the porn?
Yeah, like being actually in it.
You are all American.
I wouldn't be comfortable with that.
You would not be comfortable with that at all?
No.
So you don't mind being around set, and you don't mind, you know, being a part of the process, but being in the process would definitely be a no-go.
Yeah, it would weird me out way too much. I would.
Have you had any of your friends who found out about this tell you, like, oh, I think that would be great. I'd love to come over.
No.
No, nobody said that at all.
I don't think her
friends will probably sell.
Allison, can I come to Sam?
Okay.
Allison, you've got friends that are girls, and you've had them probably for many years of your life, right? And I'm sure that there have been many conversations that you and your girlfriends have had, and I'm sure some of them on late night drunk outings with you and stuff like that have said certain things that made you go, she's a little freaky. She's a little different, right? I mean, it's not far-fetched to believe that she would have a friend who would be like, oh, that's cool. I'd like to try.
Are we getting into the dark Mark fantasy hour?
No,
just because girls have sleepovers doesn't mean they're naked and throwing pillows around.
Hold on, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Don't you kill this for me.
Sam, so you've made, what, 15, 17 videos
around there.
Or so. Is it all new talent every time, or have you had repeat performers?
It's a lot of come and go with them. I mean, they'll come for their first time and see if they like it. It's kind of a fantasy that a lot of girls have, you know, and guys too. I mean, but guys back out a lot more than girls. I've noticed.
Really?
Yeah,
that's what I hear.
They do. I mean, I guess they get that stage fright, and I mean, there's 7-8 people in the room.
Yeah,
for a scene, you know, so
that many.
You got to stay hard. And yeah, I mean, well, Ray from the Riverfront Times came and he did an article and he brought a photographer, and then, you know, of course, Allison, and then the different talents that we have either waiting to go in the next film or waiting to jump in the middle of that film.
Is there anybody critiquing the other actors? Like, hey, man, you got to position yourself like this.
Yeah, no, my cameraman, Corey, is...
He's really very, on top of this. He's had a history of using the internet for porn purposes,
really
like you did.
Like these shots.
No, I have a question. Like, obviously, one of the most popular things in the porn industry is fluffers. People that are there professionally to make sure that the talent stays happy and keeps up. So, do you have a fluffer?
No,
you guys?
We don't make that kind of money yet. No,
you don't make that kind of money yet.
I can't afford to pay people for that yet.
You're just trying to get to that Vivid level.
I would love to be there.
I can for free be your fluffer.
Whoa. You're sure fluffy. You're fluffy. Bobby, we're not fluffer.
Bobby, I know you really like talking into the microphone, but I don't think that talent should be used on other cylindrical objects.
Yeah.
I think it'd be really funny to get a picture of Bobby, you know, Bobby giving a guy a blowjob.
To each their own, buddy. Just go do it. You know what? Be the best, be the worst. Just stand out.
I just want to be remembered for something. Whether it's negative or positive.
I'm not going to forget
you said
that.
You're going to be remembered. Yeah. Don't worry. You're going to be remembered for something.
I got a quick question, though. Okay, so you say there are no fluffers. So how do they stay like a rat?
Are they using the pills?
Yeah, do they just take
We usually start off with like a blowjob. And then, they do go limp sometimes, especially when we have to like take a little cut break.
Let's talk about that a little bit. The actual performance itself. Like, you guys, most of us are normal human beings, okay? So,
most of us.
Well, we've got guys like Ron Jeremy who are obviously putting it down like a freaking samurai, okay? Yeah. So, most guys are probably like, I would say, somewhere between 5 to 10 minute range as far as like getting it off. And some guys can't get it off multiple times in a row. Some guys can do it once and then they're just done for the day or done for whatever. Like, everybody's different. So, have you walked into that type of a situation yet where like the person just... real quick, 2 minutes, they were done, and it was it. Like, there's nothing you could do about it. And you're like, guys, we're scheduled for a 45-minute shoot, you know?
No, we did one at a Motel 6, and the guy, he popped within 7 or 8 minutes, and then it was supposed to be a cream pie video, so we didn't get what we needed. He said that he could go again, so we kept trying to get the footage, and he kept getting hard, going limp. And that went on for like 8 hours. And eventually, we had to fake the orgasm with flour and water.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. And that's what is that the typical?
No. I mean, that was the only time.
Is flour and water the typical?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what I assume.
That's what you're using.
Yeah.
He hasn't tried to use this at home, has he?
No, we googled it to find out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It was a great evening, but we're missing all of our flour and water.
So he decides to like get Allison naked. Sam. He's like, hey, baby, we're going to try this out. So he gets her right to that point. He's like, now back off. And he just starts throwing flour and water on it. I want to see how it looks on camera.
They got like a notepad. And you're like, okay, it doesn't look good. We need more water.
It really looked great, though. You really couldn't tell.
Yeah.
That's fair.
You get a little yeast and you've looking got for their flour.
All right. Well, I want to move on a little bit here. I got a story here I want to read for you guys, okay?
Okay.
So I've got two stories here. I want you to tell me which one you think is the fake story, okay?
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Just weeks after Sergeant Bo Bergdahl's release from captivity in Afghanistan, U.S. defense officials announced that the 28-year-old had been recaptured by Taliban forces Monday, shortly after wandering off base in Texas. It is with regret that we inform you that approximately 1,200 hours today, Sergeant Bergdahl left his post, was seized by insurgents outside San Antonio and taken into Taliban custody, said Pentagon spokesman John Herndon, explaining that on his first day back on active duty, Bergdahl slipped out of Fort Sam Houston with only a backpack and a notebook, ventured for 5 miles on foot, and was shortly thereafter abducted by a group of militant jihadists, a sequence of events that was largely corroborated by Bergdahl himself in a Taliban propaganda video released this afternoon. Based on emails he sent this morning, it appears that Sergeant Bergdahl may have grown disillusioned with his return to service and voluntarily ventured outside of Sam Houston base. We have reclassified him as missing/captured, and the U.S. Army will do everything in its power to secure his release and repatriate him once again to the United States.
That's real.
At press time, a spokesman for Obama administration announced that the president was currently in negotiations to hand over 5 high-value Taliban prisoners in exchange for Bergdahl. So there's that story.
That's completely true.
Okay. Absolutely.
Completely true.
Immediately following, story two. Immediately following the highly anticipated announcement that he will be returning to the Cleveland Cavaliers, NBA superstar LeBron James boldly guaranteed that Cleveland will win numerous regular season games, sources confirmed Friday. It's not going to be easy, but I can personally assure you that the Cavs will win multiple games now that I'm back home. The 4-time NBA MVP and Akron, Ohio native reporter claiming that putting together as many as 4 or 5 regular season wins for the franchise was more than just a possibility. Just look at the team we
we've got Kyrie Irving, Deion Waiters, Anderson Varejo, and now me. With a squad like that, you know we're going to be seeing quite a few wins come October. That's what the people of Cleveland deserve, James added, providing that everything falls into place for the team. He could even see the Cavaliers putting together back-to-back Eastern Conference final losses. So,
all those people that have doubted this kid for so long, and there's people that want to talk about
his intentions.
He's a bad guy. This proves to you he has got an unbelievable head on his shoulders, and he wants to do the right thing all the time.
All right. We've got people already, and sorry I lost it there for a second, you guys. Casey, thank you for picking me up. There are people who are outside the Galleria right now and gathering. If you guys out there want to use the Galleria as a place for everybody just to come down and hang out and just gather and be together right now, I'd love that. I'd love that, Case.
What?
You're crying, dude.
I can't. Yeah, you're like, seriously.
You're crying. What?
You're so freaking happy you're crying.
That's the reaction of an ESPN reporter when LeBron announced he was going back to Cleveland.
Okay, so which one of these two stories is false?
Bergdahl.
You're going to say
LeBron James.
From you're the saying Onion. The LeBron James one. What about you, Sam? What do you think?
I think that the LeBron one is fake.
You think the LeBron one is fake? You think Bergdahl got off the base down there in Texas?
In Texas, again, and got taken by Taliban forces.
Okay, what about you, Allison?
I'm going to go with the Texas one is fake.
You're going to go with the Texas one is fake? Ha! I got all of you. They're both fake. Neither one of those are real whatsoever. Yeah, that's great. That happened.
That,
money shot. Trickery. Pop shot.
That's so
money
awful.
Shot. That's a trickery. Money shot.
That's a pop.
That's like when a five-year-old's like, guess what? I got a riddle. And it just doesn't even make sense. And you're like, that's really good, honey. Then go away.
Oh, man. So, the University of Texas may use race as a factor in admissions. I do want to talk about this serious. The ruling came in a lawsuit filed in 2008 by Abigail Fisher, who is white and was denied admission. A federal court appeals panel ruled Tuesday this past week that the University of Texas can continue using race in its undergraduate admissions a year after the U.S. Supreme Court sent the case back to a lower court. The fifth U.S. Court appeals panel ruled 2-1 that barring the university from using race would hurt diversity on campus. The ruling came in a lawsuit filed in 2008 by Abigail Fisher, who is white and was denied admission. We are persuaded that to deny UT Austin its limited use of race and its search for holistic diversity would hobble the richness of the educational experience, the panel found. The case went to the Supreme Court in June of 2013, but rather than issue a landmark decision on affirmative action, the High Court voted 7-1 to tell a lower appeals court to take another look at Fisher's lawsuit. The university said that at the time, the decision would have no effect on its admission policies. The university scheduled a news conference this past week to react to the latest ruling. Do any of you have a problem with this? Do you have a problem with them using race as the one of the criteria to allow admissions to the University of Texas or any one of the universities?
I don't have a problem. If you can have scholarships that are based upon race, like there are certain scholarships that you have to be African-American to get. You have to be Native American to get. You have to be, you know, of Asian descent.
Very true.
I don't have a problem with that at all.
I mean, it's one of many criteria, and the objective is to create a diversified campus. So that's perfectly legitimate.
Interesting. What about you, Dan? Where do you stand on this?
It's just another way that people are trying to keep the white man down.
Oh, they're trying to keep the white man down.
It's so hard for us out there already. Yep. You know, I mean, ever since the Dutch. You know, it's just...
I've talked about this before on the show. And I
don't
just,
even care. That's the thing. I don't... Yeah, that's diversify fine. No, that's, your campus.
That's fine.
Okay.
I just want to reissue my statement that I said probably last year on one of the shows. I don't have a problem with this at all. I don't have a problem because there are black colleges that, yes, they will accept term letters and everything like that from white potential students, but they'll turn them down because it's a historically black university. I don't have a problem with the university playing the race card. It's not a problem. Like, okay, Sam, you shooting the porns, right?
Right.
Obviously, you're going to have a certain cache of people that are like... There's probably certain porns that sell better than others.
Sure. Yeah.
Would you not say that?
Yeah.
Okay. And so with that being said, it's obvious that you're going to probably focus on the ones that are going to make you more money as opposed to the ones that are, not that you won't cater
right.
to certain types of porn. Like, obviously, straight porn. Does straight porn or gay porn sell better, you think?
Well, to the site that we've been selling to, Homegrown, straight porn, definitely.
Straight porn. Now, do you have to fake the amateur aspect of it, or do they like real high quality, like overproduced porn?
No, they like it to be pretty realistic. I mean, the more realistic it is, the more they'll pay for it.
I mean, it's called Homegrown.
Well, yeah, I understand that.
They don't want you to make it like a hardcore kind of fake it, real hard fake it, you know, an over dramatic, you know, moans and all so that. They don't want that.
They don't want like the Dark Knight XXX.
No, nothing scripted either. They don't want any scripted.
Oh, I love a good storyline. Oh.
I know, me too. I kind of like that situation. And like,
I had a few spec scripts. You
just
end
up I just feel like it. There's nothing wrong with I know that this sounds really odd, being the show kind of runs a moderate liberal kind of feel to it at times. I don't really have a problem with people playing the race card on either side. You know what I'm saying? I just hate when people, like white people, go out of their way to go, well, see, look, he's just against white people, the black guy over there, so it's obvious reverse racism. Why don't you accept the reverse racism? Why aren't you against that? And I'm like, because they have white people that are racist towards them. Like, I don't have an issue when the playing field is level. Across
right,
the board.
Right.
Yeah, Justin?
Well, you know, I think, Dan, what you said actually hits on, you know, it openly
you
mocks.
You just don't care?
No. Well, but what you did, it openly mocks this myth of perpetual white male victimhood that we have from half of the political class in America that just has to pretend that the white man is being held down and that reverse discrimination is the only real discrimination and all this crap that goes on, you know, when someone doesn't get into a college and wants to take it to the Supreme Court because the college, God forbid, values a diversified campus.
No, the white man's holding them down.
I agree with you 100%. And I honestly, if it was up to me, and this is why I would not be a great representative of a democracy, is I would honestly just like completely outlaw any kind of thing being overturned in the U.S. Supreme Court for years, because I think people have abused it. And I think now I think they should take that away. You can't argue everything. It just is what
it
is.
We're dealing
with it
right now with the whole Obamacare situation. They turned around in Obamacare and they said everything was constitutional in Obamacare. And then all of a sudden the Hobby Lobby situation comes up and they go, well, one piece of it isn't. So now we're going to overturn that. And it's
and
like,
the
okay, now.
Thursday, oh, another piece isn't. Do they? And then before that, they.
Before
that,
you know it, it's just the whole thing needs to be overturned. It's like, you guys could have done that on day one if you wanted to do it.
Well, do they give birth control in the adult film industry?
I don't know.
I think they use. Do you guys use prophylactics? I use the scientific.
Do you have your five random things ready to go, sir? Let's do the five random things. Do you have your little sound effect too? Are you ready to go with that?
Five.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for five random facts with producer Bobby. Every single week, he gives us five nuggets of minutia that he likes to throw out there. And I do want to know, we had a discrepancy from our guy Dan Walsh because he wanted to know about cheese, did he not? He wanted to know about cheese.
It's not
cheese.
A discrepancy. I asked a question, I got an answer.
Well, yeah, but now...
A discrepancy would be if I was not happy with the answer. Like, the fact that I'm like, Bobby, this is from Wikipedia.
You had a discrepancy last week because there wasn't an answer readily available for you. You wanted to find out what it was. So, what's the answer, sir?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't even read it. I was just happy to know we got an answer.
Sliced cheese was invented... the first time that cheese was sliced and individually wrapped by machine was done commercially by the Clearfield Cheese Company in 1956.
Look at that. Bobby coming through like a champ for you, the polar vortex, walking reality, not the king of all media, Walsh.
I actually care about as much about individually wrapped cheese as I do diversification on a campus.
All right. Number five. Go ahead, Bobby.
Number five. 96% of high schools in France have condom vending machines.
96% of high school have condom vending machines? I think you need to move the production over to France into the schools, actually.
There's a lot
of rooms in a school. They can put you on the third floor, way in the corner. They just black out the window on the door.
Future talent.
I think it's a good idea.
No, future talent. They're in high school, but the day they turn 18.
Yeah, you should recruit. I think that's
scout.
Where Sam
that's
should go now.
Yeah,
he needs
but
to go
this
out
is
scout.
This is Europe. They could probably put him into porn at like 14.
That's a good point. They have Craigslist over there.
I don't even know if they do have Craigslist.
They do.
They probably do, yeah.
Yeah, well. You have to click where you want.
It's Jacques' list.
There it is.
All-American Allison has the answer.
Four.
Number four. The bird in the Twitter logo actually has a name.
What?
And the name is Larry, as in Larry Bird. That's because
I invented Twitter, apparently.
The co-founder of Twitter.
Evidently, Dan started on a show a few months ago, and it has completely changed for him because he is just sitting back in amazement at the porn talk as well as like diversity.
The porn talk, I get. Like, did we really want to know? I don't care if the
Larry
bird has a name.
You are just so anti. You need to wear your Gold's Gym shirt. T-shirts more often.
I do.
This guy.
No, tell me about Larry Bird.
Okay,
please,
Larry Bird was because the co-founder, one of the co-founders of Twitter, Biz Stone, grew up in Massachusetts and was a huge Boston Celtics fan.
Ah, as is
so
my
he
wife.
Named it Larry Bird.
All right.
Three.
Number three, you cannot legally get married in the state of Ohio if you have syphilis.
Well, I would hope. Well, okay, so you can't get married?
You cannot legally be get married.
You wouldn't pass the blood test.
What about on your guys' sets? Do you have to test for all that? Do you have to make sure that these guys are clean and stuff like
they
that?
They have to bring us papers before
Does the
they
health
can work
department
with us.
Do they have to get licensed in the state of Missouri to wrestle?
Wow. That just happened.
No one else knows what we're talking about. What the hell would that do?
Number two, instant coffee sales have tripled around the world since the year 2000, but the U.S. has done a good job sticking with real coffee. Our instant coffee sales have stayed flat and make up less than one third of our coffee market.
I would think that that has more to do with the fact that our water tends to be a little bit fresher and cleaner, I would think, than a lot of the other countries. And in their countries, like,
based on
it's easier to just drop something into it to make it flip. That's just because, for some reason, I feel that we have just better technology across the board. Because
USA number one?
Yes, America. America.
Patriot.
One.
And number one, Leonardo da Vinci actually struggled throughout his 20s and 30s, and he didn't even get his big break until he became famous doing The Last Supper, which he painted at 46 years old.
So he was up there.
Okay. He was old. This is my problem with that one. Okay.
Do you have a discrepancy, sir?
Yes. To measure the mark of an artist's success by age, whenever the artist in itself's value didn't even start to like actually accumulate until years post-mortem, how the hell do you know? Like,
I think Dan makes a great point.
I think half this crap, not nothing to you, Bobby. I think people just put stuff out there and they like go off of what they think. But like, you don't know. We weren't there. There's no way. And it's all artists. Their stuff triples in post-mortem.
Like, absolutely.
But I think the point of it is that he made his most valuable stuff later in life, even if it wasn't while
he was
alive.
How do we know that we won't find something that he had hidden somewhere that is amazing? Maybe he drew the dogs playing pool years before the guy who actually did it.
Before there were pool tables.
Before there were pool tables. Like, he's that genius.
Sounds
like
he also drew the pool table. Put that on the internet.
Well, ladies and gentlemen.
Get on Wikipedia right now.
My goodness. First off, it's time for us to get out of here on the queue. I want to first off thank Sam Arcabasso as well as his pretty girlfriend Allison for coming on the show and talking about
Allison.
Go ahead, tell us a little tell us where people can find you online if they want to check out any of this stuff.
Yeah, you can just email me at stladultfilms@yahoo.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter at @STLAdultfilms.
All right, fair enough.
Keep your eye out for the movie The Attack of the Danaconda.
We also want to thank RazorSharpDigital.com. RazorSharpDigital.com, where you get all your SEO, SEM, and digital marketing done by the best in the business. Check out RazorSharpDigital.com.
Make sure you go to theQNow.com. Click on the contest page to win tickets for WrestleFest 5 and the Muni Susicle.
Hey, we also want to say thank you to Bushwhacker Luke as well as Chris Nagus from KMOV Channel 4 for joining us today on the show. That's going to do it for us here on The Q. Stick around. There might be a little overtime right after this. We will see you guys next time on the show. Bamboo, son of a bitch. H to the SO, B to the SA. Pushes on my nizzle, used to dribble down in VA. H to the SO, B to the SA. My name's Brett Andrews, and I want you guys to check out my brand new, video for professional wrestling. Check this out. This is one of my greatest hits right here. Watch as I do a suplex. Oh, no. Look at this. I just knocked this guy out with two fake punches. Check out the highlights from my spit-slopping makeup match. Yeah. Make sure you don't forget to check out my old band that was on STLPunk.net. It's the STL Punk.
Okay,
my God. Ladies and gentlemen.
gentlemen.
Please check me out on Super Slam.
Did you guys ever play the Super Slam video or audio on the show?
I don't think we played it on the air.
We've never. It's brilliant. You want to do it?
I can get it.
If you can
Dude,
bring it up.
It takes a lot. It takes a okay, lot that's true. Of time. Yeah.
We'll do it next week on overtime. We'll do it next
it's
week
good,
on the show.
It's
very good.
It's a brilliant. Long. And that's what makes it so great. It's
3 minutes.
Long.
Ladies yeah. and gentlemen, welcome Have back to the Q overtime.
What you say to all the girls.
This is where we fucking cuss a lot and we say some shit. You know, we're hardcore motherfuckers.
We make fight videos where we hit each other half fucking strength.
That's what we are, man. We're fucking
That's seriously acapella heavy metal.
Mark we want to make sure you guys know that Sam Argabasso and Allison are here,
all
still
American
chilling
Allison.
With us in their porn dynasty that they own over there.
Oh, yeah. How are you doing
good
over
to be
there?
Here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Thank you so much. Did you enjoy being on the show?
Yeah, it's fun.
I don't
man.
Know
it's
why.
A good time.
Yeah, it is a good yeah. time. We can have you on again.
You guys are a little twisted. I like it.
Yeah. Maybe you know what? Maybe we should Mark do a live twisted. Sex show on the show. We can draw all the curtains in here, right?
Oh my
you
god!
So cool.
You
right there on that fucking couch. Right there on that fucking couch, Sam. I want to see dicks and pussies.
It would,
right there.
It would be yeah. a fucking couch.
The thing I'm is, we're very professional.
The, would truth, be is, the truth is, for overtime, we
we'll
can
make
have
Bobby
you
leave.
Film live while we're on the air live. We could be doing our show talking about a play-by-play for them fucking on the couch. And you could put that video out. And there would probably be people that get off on the fact that we're doing play-by-play
Please.
For a live show.
Can we do it like an old Wild World of Sports where everyone wears jackets and we talk
sure.
about
I mean,
the
hold
show?
On, hold on, hold on. Hold on. You know? Sam, what did you say?
I set it up, so I mean, why not? If you're serious about this, we
do
can
you
make
it
happen.
Do you want to do it?
I'll fucking do it.
Do you want to do it? Why do you
Justin,
fucking have to
I
ask?
I want to do it.
All right, that's it.
I
Sam,
want to
within
do
the
it.
Next couple of months, we're going to set up for you to bring in two people to fuck in front of us right there on that couch while we do live play-by-play on overtime.
I would love nothing more.
I think it, and then you have to take
Sam,
the video.
No, Sam,
wall sign.
I would love nothing more.
I just want to take a quick second to thank my mom for listening to the show today. She knows I was really looking
right,
forward
so
to being back
on. So, ladies and gentlemen, you know that we like to do letters from the listeners, and I've got a couple here that I want to throw out there. Dr. Dan, are you in the house?
Dr. Dan's here.
Is
he's here.
Dr. Is Justin here?
Oh, my
yes.
gosh.
Dr. Justin is
do
here.
Do you know what we forgot to do today?
What?
We forgot to let Dan talk to the People's Republic of China.
Well, it's okay. It's all right. Listen. They heard a lot
the
of...
The Asian delegation
They
is
sell
not-
women's panties in vending
Dude,
machines
they
and
make,
sniff them, okay?
They love porno. They have tons of
porno.
Them that like degrade
yeah.
women.
Do you have any Chinese or Asian porno that you guys have filmed yet?
No, we have one girl that works with us that is part Asian, part black.
Uh-oh. If I smile,
as close as we've got.
If I smile the right
She's
way, I look Asian.
She's,
are you trying to develop a person as a superstar for you? Like, are you trying to develop a talent where you're going to put her
you know,
or
we,
him in multiple videos?
We got a couple leads, but
can
you know, maybe.
Can
maybe,
you get
yeah.
an Asian girl, please?
That would be cool.
Can you
with like
get
a big
an Asian
bush?
Girl?
Well, she has
Will
to have
Dan
a big
Will Dan Walsh do it if it's an Asian girl?
It depends.
I mean, literally, like, yeah, I think we should totally do this. I think it's in.
Mark, I don't know if I could do
I'm
it.
I'm going to use Dan's penis to fucking Asian girl. I'm going to use Dan's penis to fucking Asian girl live on camera for you. I'll hold it. I'll put it in, back out. I'll
that
take
is so
it.
Weird. That just went into a
that's
whole other genre.
That's a different kind of fucking
I would be
fetish.
Getting jerked off by Mark while
no,
having
no, I'm
sex.
I'm going to have a really strong grip. It's not moving up and down. It's just holding it.
I can't believe we just went into detail on
I
that
hate
shit. Are you
the Asian porn when they blur it out?
All right, Dr. Dan, I've got a letter here. Hey, guys.
Yeah.
I suspect my boyfriend of 10 months loves his 7-year-old dog more than me. I'm 45 and divorced twice. He's 49 and has been divorced 3 times. I am jealous of the way he treats and talks to his dog. I have even told him so. Is it worth my time and energy to wait around for my boyfriend to start treating me better?
Here's the thing.
The dog,
between
the
you,
dog.
You've been divorced 5 times. You're both fucking weird. Yeah, he probably does like the dog better than you. And no, don't divorce him because you ain't going to find anybody that's crazier than both of you. Stick together, share your craziness, and fucking get over the jealousy
Sam,
of the dog.
Sam, could we do Red Rocket
Bitches
dog porn?
You know,
Red
no,
Rocket
no.
dog.
We can't do that. Sam just found a stop.
Listen, hold on,
point.
Let me roll my this brother up sent me a video of him jerking off a dog before.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He gets
no,
drunk and he does
no,
some fucked up shit.
No, no. You want to hear the most fucked up video I've ever seen?
I don't.
Somebody showed me a video of a dude fucking a fish.
Yes, yes. I showed him a video of a guy fucking a fish because someone sent that shit to me. It was ridiculous.
It's creative.
Control, dude.
It's creative.
Very creative. That, you would have made money off
tell
that.
Tell me that.
Remind me to erase all of you guys from my fucking contacts.
All right. Mark?
My boyfriend of a year and a half broke up with me because we don't have enough in common, and he needs someone with similar interests. We had a really great relationship at first, but it started hating everything. He started hating everything I did. He would yell about my driving, hated that I don't like to cook, and would imply that I'm stupid. I'm just having a hard time dealing with the fact that he acted completely in love with me and then just realized he didn't want to be with me one day. I'm at the point where I feel like every other guy I will date will get sick of me like this one. Should I be concerned? I don't think you should be concerned because everybody's different.
You just experienced like normal dating. Guys
yeah,
do
that's
that.
Yeah, just we're, guys being dicks.
We're not like you girls. Like, let me explain this. And I've explained this before. You women have had to like adapt and improvise and overcome throughout this entire, like just the last 100 years of who you had to be in society. Vote, don't vote. You have jobs, don't job. Guys have had the same fucking role since they were put on this planet. We've never changed. We don't think like you do. You guys think of way too much shit. So if we just become disinterested, it's because we're like animals and it just happened. Keep going until you find the animal that doesn't do it, okay? And that's it. Don't nothing personal. If he doesn't want to have sex with you, it's because he's 40.
Justin? Right?
Nothing personal?
Sounds kind of personal. He sounded kind of angry about it.
No, it's just you always listen. Like women think of 400 fucking things when they get out of the car and
ever
go to the
since,
door. We don't. So
ever
quit
since
thinking.
Sex therapist Lindsay gave him a personal analysis on overtime a few weeks ago, he's kind of been a little, yeah.
She agreed with everything that I said, though.
That's true. She did agree with quite a few of his
things. Which shows me that I'm a brilliant mind when it comes to both psychology and sexual psychology.
Okay. Will you let me hold your dick so I can shove it in an Asian vagina? That's what I need to know.
What are you like aiming?
And that's on number one of a list of shit I never thought I'd hear a human being say to me.
What do you call that video?
Is well, that, we call is it that Dan's awkward face and a fucking Asian vagina. That's what it's called.
I think that's going to be the title of Mark's acapella heavy metal.
Can we play Dan? Can we play hardcore? Can we play hardcore music over me doing this?
It's like, oh, Dan's dick. Fuck that Asian vagina. $4 billion vaginas.
I'm excited about the fact that we're going to have a live porn session that's going to be filmed right here while we do play by play.
I can see that over here.
I'm really pumped about it.
I can see it right
here. And immediately that follows us being pulled fucking completely from the air.
There no, because it's for overtime. It's not live on the air.
Yeah, but we're still having a live sex show.
On overtime, and it's a public building. If I make it okay with the powers that be, I'm sure that they'll probably join in to watch.
They'll never know.
He would. I guess we'll find out.
They're gonna have a packed house.
You're gonna have to charge admission. To be honest with you,
look,
because we got shows on 1380 that like to like push the envelope, but none of them are at the level we are. I'm just nothing against them. They're great guys, and I love all the shows that are on 1380. But I think that we're willing to go through with live sex act. That's all I'm saying. And they might have already done it. They might have already done it on the station.
I wouldn't have put it past Darren. Doing the little bit that I've been with him. I mean, he's. I'm not going to go into
details. How many times have you been on a show in the last couple of weeks?
One time.
Are you sure? Multiple times?
One time.
Four or five?
One time.
Did it right the first time.
Did it right
the first time. I only needed one time to see a bunch of men drink a beer called Jenny Light with a G.
Jenny Light.
Oh, yeah. They bought it from the corner store.
There's a belt in radio. Mm. And you get notches for everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure not many people have the live sex show notch. And we're going to have
it.
I don't think so. Howard Stern's got
naturally.
It.
Naturally.
Yeah, probably Opie and Anthony might have had it.
Probably which Kevin, but St.
Kevin
Louis
and Bean might have.
He's trying to make St. Louis the porn hub of the world. This is how you do it. Because we'll make our radio show the porn hub of St. Louis radio.
Quick question. Did Anthony leave radio?
No, he got fired.
He got fired.
Because he doesn't
have a home right now.
Are correct. We talking about radio?
He got something happened while he was in New York.
We bring him on the queue and he becomes a member of the queue. Anthony becomes a member of the queue.
Something happened while he was in New York and he posted a tweet where he, quote, said, "These blanks are all over me and they're beating me up."
What does blanks mean? Yeah. How did he say it? Blanks.
Fuck you,
like,
Justin.
Like Dick Tracy? Like the blank?
What was the blank? Was it the N-word?
The N-word.
Oh, yeah, it was the N-word.
There's
okay.
Certain words we can't say on overtime.
Right. We're not going to say. Well, no, we're just not disrespectful, racist pieces of crap. Okay.
I have a question that I want to hear the answer from Sam.
All right, fair enough.
Okay, Sam. So my girlfriend and I have been going out for 6 months, and things have gotten pretty serious.
Serious.
Last night, she was at happy hour with her friends.
I wrote this letter myself, actually.
Last night, she was at happy hour with her friends, and I'm pretty sure she was drunk because she texted me and said, "I love you." It's the first time that she has ever said that. I just responded, "Oh, that was sweet, and you're probably hammered."
I didn't know how to respond. It was in a text message, and she was drinking. Should I ever bring it up to her, and do you think she meant it?
You know what? She probably meant it, and she was probably wanting to say it for a long time.
Shit,
but
hammered.
I think that if he doesn't want to say it, don't bring it up. You know, I mean, try to play it off. Play the dumb card. That's what I would do.
Dan's
100%.
Disagreeing. Go for it, Dan. Dude, what do you got?
One time, I mean, I used to be quite the drinker. I don't know if you know this about me, but one time I had a conversation with a girlfriend. I hadn't talked to her for 2 days. I completely forgot the last time I talked to her because I was blacked out, hammered. And so she calls me just out of nowhere. And I'm like, hey, what's up? And I knew something had happened, but I couldn't remember. And she's like, so the conversation the other night, did you mean it? And I'm like trying not to, like, you know, give away that I'm like a complete alcoholic. And I'm like, yeah. And she goes, so you do love me? And I'm like, well, I mean, you know, I maybe. And then she goes, so, but you still want to break up. I told her I loved her, and then I broke up with her immediately after, shit hammered. So, no, I don't agree completely that he meant it or she meant it. Just shit happens.
Okay?
Alcohol is a hell of a drug.
All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank Sam Arcabasso as well as his beautiful lady, Allison, for joining us today on the Q.
Old American
Allison. We want to also, of course, thank Dan Walsh. Anything last before we get out of here?
Scared to fucking talk at this point.
Bobby?
Go to the contest page. Sign up for tickets for WrestleFest 5 and the Seussical.
And Justin, Diamofo, thank you so much for coming back and joining us, buddy.
Thanks for having me,
You
going
to do this more often?
Yeah, especially if Dan is caught in that shame dungeon that he's living in.
Fair
I think
enough.
You'll need my help. So.
All right, well, ladies
he's
and gentlemen.
He's my PR guy.
That's going to do it for us here on The Cube. We will see you guys next time on the show. Pick up your thigh and call me the Pac-Man. Table top, just give me the